Put your hands on a Bible if you've got one. Either your own Bible or the one from the pew in front of you. Maybe pull out a device if you can do that without checking your email and all that mess. Don't get distracted. We're in Luke's Gospel. Luke is one of the few places that gives us some insight on the birth of Jesus and God's work in preparing for the birth of Jesus. So we'll look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is now in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Let's pause there and pray. God, we love you and we confess to you that we cannot live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our mind, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word and have your word live in us. We welcome Jesus, your living word. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Y'all, I love this scripture passage. I love this introduction to Mary and God's work, because as soon as we get to this point, we recognize that we're falling into a story that's already ongoing, that God is already at work, and the story is bigger even than what we see with the visit of an angel to Mary. We see Mary and Gabriel, and we think we've hit play on episode 1 of a new series, but realize we're really on episode 3 or 4. Maybe there's a whole other season that we've missed, because there's already Zechariah and there's already Elizabeth. There's already this miraculous story of a couple who had waited and waited and waited and waited and waited, believing that they had a promise from God. For them, it was the promise of a child. For them, it was the promise of a child, and they waited. The Bible tells us they were very old. Zechariah, in describing it, says, "I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." That's a whole other sermon. But Zechariah and Elizabeth, 6 months, Elizabeth's already pregnant. The story is already moving. God is already working. Mary is a big deal, but she's in the middle of an even bigger deal. She's in the middle of an even bigger deal. I want to tell you that this morning. That the Holy Spirit is doing something, that the Spirit of God is doing something in your life and in the life of our community. And most of us are just ignorant of that. We don't recognize. We're like Mary. I mean, she's just sweeping or going to fetch the water at the well or whatever it was she was doing on that day. And God's at work. And God's already at work. And even if you know one blessing, you are blessed. I'll tell you this. If you can stop right now If you can silence your heart, if you can think of one good thing that God is doing right now that you know is a clear sign of His favor and His blessing in your life, can you do that? One thing? Then you're blessed. If you can come up with two things, then you're blessed. But what I want to tell you, God's probably doing 100 things and you don't know most of them. God's doing 100 things and you don't know most of them. Paul said it this way, however it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, these are the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. So think about it, y'all. If you know one, just think about what the other 10 are, or the other 100, or the other 1,000. God is at work. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged by college football, okay? Just get that out of the way, because as soon as I say college, you're going to wonder, oh, he's fixing to talk about football. I know some of you are not as encouraged. Ross, where are you? In the balcony. There you go. Bless your heart. You won't get the bye, but you'll be there, I hope. I hope we don't have to play you again. I don't want to do it 3 times. But y'all, I continue to hear reports from campuses all across the country of how God is moving in students' lives. And I get impatient. I get impatient when I hear folks, oh, the world's, you know, going, it's just going downhill, and youth today. I was like, you're just not looking at the right youth today. Because whether it's Arkansas or FSU or even Auburn, no, even Auburn. Y'all, God, I hear stories. Y'all, I hear stories of the way the Spirit of God is moving and bringing people to faith in fresh ways and in new ways. Y'all, it happened at Georgia too. And y'all, some of you heard about this last spring. Student-led, student-motivated, not from some, you know, organization somewhere that says, oh, we're going to put on events in 100 college campuses and a strategy. That's good. You can have strategy and you can have plans. But this is like grassroots stuff. And some students and alumni in Athens, you got to hear a few months ago from my friend Mark Danzy, my discipleship guru right now. And Mark actually disciples a couple of those guys who started this thing last spring in Athens, and they got the basketball auditorium. They filled it up with people and they had worship. And there was a little bit of preaching and a little bit of testimony. There was, y'all, here's how I know this is not like just fluff, like one off. You know what they did? They had thousands of people gathered and a speaker said, now, after, you know, there was music and there was a message, and they said, now I want you to turn to the person next to you and I want you to confess your sins. How many of you would be back next week? You say, well, you can do that in a special event, a one-off, you know, people just thrown in there. One of my friends, a guy I know who was there, he was seated next to his father-in-law. But it turned into a precious time of honesty and of deepening relationship. Why? Because God's at work. Because God's at work. And it wasn't a one-off. They lined pickup trucks. They had baptisms in the parking lots of fraternity houses. And you might say, that's a one-off emotional kind of thing. No, there was one-on-one contact. If you were coming to get baptized, you had to scan a QR code and put your info in and get connected to local churches or local discipleship ministries. So how many things? How many things does God have to do? Number one, how many things is God doing for you right now? 1, 2, 3, 5. How many things does He have to do for you to know that He is at work in your life? I don't know what Mary was doing, feeding the chickens or what. What are they doing in Nazareth? What is a young woman betrothed, pledged to be married? Maybe she's packing her bags, getting ready for a wedding. She's just doing the everyday stuff. So I love this. So I love about this story. God shows up right in the middle of the everyday. In the middle of the stuff. She was doing the stuff that she was just supposed to do. I love it. You got to love the everyday. You got to love the everyday. Because I think that's part of the promise of this whole story for us in Advent. Is that you prepare today for God's promise tomorrow. You prepare today for God's promise tomorrow. Mary was just, she just showed up. We don't have the sense. All kind of legends and history has developed in 2,000 years about what Mary was like. And if Mary was this special to raise Jesus, then Mary's mom and dad must have been real special. And everything. And that's sort of overinflated. Because Mary, when it comes down to it, Mary's not any different from you and me. You got to believe that. If you put a title in front of her name and a halo over her head, that's later. That's the part that comes after obedience. Mary was just preparing today. She was doing whatever other 14, 15-year-old girls did before they got married, whatever her mom and daddy said to do that day. She was preparing today for God's promise tomorrow. And you just got to love the everyday. You got to love the everyday. I got a friend, Norman Dunlap. Norman's a retired preacher. Is there anything such a thing as a retired preacher? I don't even know, Ron. Norman Dunlap is a good friend of mine. You know Norman. Norman has mentored dozens and dozens and dozens of people. And Norman has this crazy story. Norman was training to be a pastor. He was serving a little country church in Kentucky. He's from Ohio. He had married. He was preaching at this little church in Kentucky. And while serving there, his infant child took sick and died. And one Sunday, not long after that, his wife stood up in church and said she could never love a God who would let children die. And she couldn't stay married to anybody who believed that. So he was alone. He was alone. The end of marriage, maybe the end of ministry. He came to Georgia to visit his sister. And on his way back home to his native Ohio, y'all, you think it could get worse? A tornado hit the storage unit where everything he owned was placed. Norman literally had nothing but Jesus. He says this. He says, I've had everything without Jesus, and I've had nothing with Jesus. But I'll take Jesus every time. I'll take Jesus every time. Norman says this when asked about the key to life in Christ. He says, pray and read the Bible every day. Number one, pray and read the Bible every day. What else? Pray and read the Bible every day. When you don't feel like praying, pray. When you don't feel like reading the Bible, read the Bible. I've had everything without Jesus. I've had nothing with Jesus. I'll take Jesus every time. Jesus said it this way. Jesus loves the everyday. Because he knows you're preparing today for God's promise tomorrow. That's why he said in the prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer. Give us today, give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need for today. Because he knows this. It's what Mary discovered. He knows this, that every day eventually becomes the day. Every day eventually becomes the day. That's the gift of Advent, is the gift of just slowing down long enough to know that something big is coming. You'll always issue this blanket reminder in Advent because I know your calendar and my calendar from now till Christmas, I mean, it's like 60 miles an hour or 80 miles. I mean, it's going fast. I give you permission today to miss anything you need to miss between now and Christmas so that your celebration of Jesus' presence in your life is more meaningful. I give you permission. If you need somebody's permission to call and say, oh, I can't make it to that little party. I can't make it to that gathering. I need a day. You might even have to say, I need a day off of work. I give you permission, tell your boss, my pastor said I could stay home today. Because you may need to recognize that in the today, in the everyday, I won't sign off on homework notices though, y'all. I'll get in trouble. You got to do your homework. Got to do your homework. Prepare today for God's promise tomorrow. You know, Mary, at this point in the story, at the sixth month of Elizabeth, her cousin's pregnancy. Elizabeth, by the way, if you don't know that story, go back and read it. Elizabeth is the mama of John the Baptist, who is like the opening act, right, for Jesus. The Bible says John would go before him and prepare the way. But Mary didn't know any of this. I love, you know, there's a popular Christian song. It's a couple of decades old now. Mary, did you know? Everybody's recorded that. It's on the radio. Mary, did you know? I don't know all the lyrics, but here's the answer. No. No. The answer is no, she didn't. She's sweeping the yard or she's washing the laundry or whatever. She didn't know what was about to happen, but she was preparing today for God's promise tomorrow. I mean, the angel finally got around to telling her a little bit. But even then, it was like this much compared to everything, especially everything they come up with in that song, right? It's like, no, she didn't know. And here's what Mary didn't know. Mary didn't know that God's Word, when God's Word comes, God's Word sometimes brings you bad news before it brings you blessing. You know that? God's Word brings you bad news before it brings you blessing. Mary, verse 29. All the angel had said at this point was, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." But that was enough for Mary to feel like it was bad news. Mary was greatly troubled at the angel's words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The wonder of it all, that's our Advent theme. And we know wonder, it can mean a couple of things. It can mean wonder like, oh wow, that's amazing and it's awesome. But wonder can also make us scratch our heads and like hold our chin. Like, what? I wonder? And I think that's what Mary was holding right now. I don't think she was like, an angel! Ah! I think she's like, what the? I mean, really, like, what is going on here? This is not normal. I mean, I know he says the Lord is with me, but I didn't think I really wanted the Lord to be with me like that with me. I mean, this is trouble. This is trouble. Remember, if you didn't listen to if you weren't here for the Joseph message last week, this is sort of the partner message. Joseph last week, Mary this week. I mean, there were a ton of things that Joseph had to do that were, I mean, it was decidedly bad news for him. And he had to make difficult, uncomfortable decisions. He had to pledge to continue to be with and to marry a woman who was expecting a child that wasn't his. And prepare to receive the, let's just say the looks or the comments that might come his way. He had to hang out in Bethlehem. That was not where he was from. He had to go to Bethlehem. The baby arrived there, and he had, from what we understand in Scripture, he had to hang out in Bethlehem, away from his home, away from his regular place of work, for perhaps as long as 2 years. And then when that was over, instead of packing and going back home, he had to pack up and go to Egypt, a place he had, I think, never been. A place where he didn't have family, he didn't have connections, and live for another period of years before returning back to safe, known territory. Mary has her list. Mary'd have the same questions, the same awkward explanations. Can you even imagine the first time Mary and Joseph were in a room alone together after this? Honey, there's something I gotta explain. to you. And Joseph's like, well, wait a minute. I had this dream and an angel. Oh, wait, you had a dream of the angel? Oh, I actually saw the angel. But how do you even start that conversation? How do you even start that conversation? And even with all that the angel did tell her, he still didn't tell her everything. And you just add Mary to a long list of people in the Bible for whom the Word of God brings unsettling news. I said bad news because it sometimes seems like bad news on the way to blessings. Unsettling news, that may be better. I mean, we just talked in October about Jonah. What about this? I mean, is this good news from God? I got to go where? Jonah says. Or David, I got to fight. What? Moses, I got to talk to Pharaoh. Why? That may be the whole story of the Bible. That may be the whole story of the Bible, y'all. It's when people like Mary, Jonah, David, Moses, Abraham, and Sarah, Isaiah, Josiah, Peter, find themselves in places where they have to hear a word that they don't want to hear. And it may be the whole story of our lives too, if we're really going to live biblical faith. That preparing today for God's promise tomorrow means we get into a place where we have to hear a word. It's not the word we wanted. But it's God's word. I love the story of Peter from John's Gospel, chapter 6. Jesus has spent a whole day teaching. Jesus didn't know what it meant to be seeker sensitive, to packaging the message in a way that folks could really understand it and get their brain around it. And Jesus was pretty direct. He said, if you don't come to me and eat my body and drink my blood. And that sounded, you know, like something out of a zombie movie or something. You know, that didn't resonate. And it might have been an intentional culling technique that Jesus used to say, you're going to stay around, you're going to hang around long enough to really listen and understand, or you're going to reject me out of hand. And then Peter, at the end of that day, the crowds are literally abandoning Jesus. So it worked. So it seemed like it was bad news. And Peter comes to Jesus. And Jesus says, well, what about you? Are you leaving too? You following the crowd? And Peter says, where else am I going to go? You are the one who has the words of eternal life. Peter was willing to press through the bad news to find the blessing. Peter was preparing today for God's promise tomorrow. It may be that God's Word is the only place you can look for reliable bad news that will prepare you for a place of blessing. You can get reliable bad news a lot of places. I'm glad I don't watch a lot of reliable bad news. Somebody asked me today, what do you think about that trial in New York City, the Daniel Penny or whatever? I was like, I don't even know what you were talking about. Honestly, I didn't. I watch the news. I know that rebels just conquered Syria, right? And that just happened like overnight. Read your news if you hadn't seen that. But the only place you can look for reliable bad news that will deliver you to a place of spiritual blessing is in the Bible. The Bible is the only, God's Word is the only mirror that will describe what you really look like. God's Word is the only doctor that will give you a complete and honest diagnosis. God's Word is the only mechanic who will really show you what needs to be repaired and he'll give you the tools to do it. God's Word is good news. You were made by God in God's own image. God's word is bad news. You have fundamentally walked away from God and betrayed Him without thinking twice about it. But God's word is good news. He has come to you to offer redemption in life through Jesus. God's word reveals to us holy love. He is loving. He will take you just like you are. He is holy. He will remake you after the image of Jesus. If God was only holy, He would destroy you completely. Hear that. If God was only holy, He would destroy you completely, like this flame would destroy my hand if I put my hand right over it. But because He is holy love, not just holy and not just love, if He were just love, then we would be happy for a second, but we would languish. We would wallow. We would rot in the richness of all that goodness. But because He is holy love, He transforms. Because He is holy love, that means He's committed to coming close enough, living close enough to make a real difference in your life. And that's the whole story of Christmas, isn't it? It's the whole story of Jesus. It's the whole story of Mary saying, yes, let this be to me. May your word to me be fulfilled. It's the story of God coming close enough to make a difference. And so if we're going to prepare today for God's promise tomorrow, if we're going to prepare today for Jesus to come close enough to make a difference, then let's do what Mary did. Let's be ready at the same time to wait and to act. I love this. You see this perfectly in these Advent stories of Joseph and of Mary. At the same time, you wait, and at the same time, you act. 9 months before Jesus arrives. 9 months. Tell me, my friends, my sisters, who have delivered humans into the world. It's a lot of waiting. It's a lot of waiting. I've never met a pregnant lady past about 30 weeks who wasn't like ready to jump, like, you know, 6 months into the future. Like, just a lot of waiting. But is it just waiting? Is it just waiting? No, there's a lot of acting. There's a lot of things you do while you wait to prepare. I mean, you know, registries and nursery preparation and the physical side of like all the vitamins and the, I mean, there's a ton. We don't just wait. I love that we have this in, you know, through Mary's eyes and through Mary's lens and actually in Mary's words. In Mary's words, we said that last week. Joseph, the Bible records absolutely zero that Joseph says. I don't know if that's just a, I don't know if that's in and of itself a character story, a model that guys just do it and just don't say anything. What God says, do. I mean, I think I could preach that and I don't think I'd be far off. But I love that Mary, we get all the words. We get all the questions. I think we hear a hint of worry. But then we get all the elation and jubilation and celebration and adoration and all the Asians and all that stuff. We get all of it. Because she's waiting and she's acting in faithfulness. She is preparing today for God's promise tomorrow. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. This is men and women. Don't miss this. The clock is ticking. Don't miss this. The clock is ticking for you. Don't miss the chance to prepare today for God's promise tomorrow. Because there's not another Sunday, December 8th, 2024 for you except this one. The clock is ticking on your preparation today for God's promise tomorrow. The clock is ticking. When is it time? When is it time? When was it time for Mary to say yes to God through the word of the angel? When was it time? It was time right then. You notice this? Both Joseph and Mary, that they don't say, Gabriel, I need to pray about this. They don't say, I need to have a day of prayer and fasting. I need to declare a 10-week, you know, let me go back and read my Bible again and understand. They were ready because they were already prepared. They were already prepared yesterday for God's promise today. So what I'm telling you, church, is prepare today for God's promise tomorrow, because you don't know when Gabriel's going to show up. You don't know when God's Spirit is going to speak. And the moment He speaks, that's the time to act. The clock is ticking. When is it time to obey? When you encounter the truth of God in Jesus. When you encounter the truth of His Word by His Spirit. Don't miss it. The clock is ticking. Because God's Word is always leading. It's always leading toward redemption, toward surrender, towards Jesus on the throne. This is the craziest part of this whole story to me. Again, see it. Mary in Nazareth. Doing her chores. And the angel Gabriel shows up, and all of a sudden, from the beginning, I mean, there's barely an introduction. You'll have a baby, you'll have a son. He will be the Son of the Most High. God will give him a throne, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants, and his kingdom will never end. Mary's like, wait, this is as far from king, as far from like royalty as you'd ever be. And Mary could dismiss this in a couple of ways. She could say, well, this is out of my league. I'm going to say no. She could reject it that way. She could say, I'm too humble for this. I'm nobody. Or she could go the other direction. Oh, wait a minute. If he's a king, that means I'm a queen. I'm the queen mother. I'm like, I've got some power. She doesn't do that either. She doesn't miss it here, and she doesn't miss it here. She stays lined up. Because we know that the pathway of human discipleship, the pathway of following Jesus, continues. The longer we walk, it continues to be narrow. Broad is the way, Jesus said it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. For Mary, this just got so narrow. Just say yes. But in Mary saying yes, then it becomes so abundant. Jesus will reign. He will rule. And that's what he wants. He doesn't want to just come and like hang out. He doesn't just want to come and be friends. Jesus doesn't want to come and just be in your life. Jesus wants to come and be in charge of your life. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus says. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Sometimes all we want to talk about is all the things. And Jesus says, what about seek first? What about seek first? Prepare today for the promise tomorrow. The thing I love most about Mary is Mary exemplifies what it means to have a tender heart. Not a heart that's hard or critical or judgmental, but a heart that is tender, that is anticipating, that is looking for the best that God will do in every situation. And so, friends, I pray for you today. I pray for you today that this will be the day when you begin to prepare today for God's promise tomorrow. Prepare today for God's promise tomorrow. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we love you, and we open ourselves to the ways that you are speaking to us. If there are barriers in our own thoughts, if there's pain in our own past that's keeping us from trusting you today, then let us lay those things down. If it's fear over what the future could hold, then we renounce that fear in the name of Jesus. If there's been doubt and despair that's kept us from trusting your heart, Father, let us hear again your good and faithful word. And we'll hold on to this promise that no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. And God, we ask you just to pour out your Spirit, that you would bring us to a place of Spirit-infused obedience. That we would be able to say with open hearts, may your word to me, may your word to us be fulfilled even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.